Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts,
as we also have forgiven our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
Yeah, we could listen to that every day of our lives and probably never quite fully understand what it means. Never fully quite grasp the depth and the meaning and the purpose of what the Lord's Prayer was all about. You know, for many of us, maybe we'll figure out what prayer is all about. Maybe we'll discover what prayer is, probably on our knees, because today the Browns play the NFL champions, right? Some of us will decide, hey, does prayer work? Because if they win, man, prayer is miraculous in itself. But if they lose, you know, after all, don't blame that on God. They're still the Cleveland Browns, okay? You know, it's funny how many times we look at prayer and we pray the impossible or many times the improbable. And we act like we want those things to happen, and yet we don't pray in the way that God really wants us to. I remember when Brianne was playing basketball, and I seem to be talking a lot about that. I think the older my kids get, the more I long for those days when they're little again. And it's funny, I remember we would pray before games, and sometimes the coach would say, hey, would you pray for a win? And I said, I'll never pray for a win. I said, I'll pray for our kids to play their best. I'll pray for the other team to play their best. I'll pray for no injuries. But I'm never going to pray for a win, because I don't think it's all about wins and losses. It's about how we play the game. And in our lives, prayer helps us in this game. And it's not really a game, it's life. Prayer helps us in that sense, and how do we respond? How do we act? What do we do in that way? It's funny because throughout the Old Testament, there are multiple examples, and if you've ever would decide to do life studies of some of the Old Testament characters, you would see amazing stories throughout their life. Abraham would be an incredible model of faith. Moses would be a model if you wanted to study what it meant to be a leader with its strength and with his weaknesses. Moses would be there. David would be an incredible model of inspiration. Think about the Psalms that he wrote, the way he cried out to God in his singing and his prayers. And yet, when I started to look through the Old Testament and try to discover who would be a model of prayer for us, I came to one person. Because he was consistent in how he prayed. His life became that of prayer in that sense. That was Daniel. I know we just looked at that not too long ago as we walked through some of the prophets, but I think it's important that we understand what this is all about. You see, there's an old proverb. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in the times of trouble, how small is your strength? It was said one time that in the face of adversity, character is either forged or it's foiled. Think about that. How do you pray in the moments of your weakness? How do you pray when times are tough and when times are weak? I think that really tells who we are. Daniel lived this amazing life of faith. You can walk straight through the scripture, right through Daniel chapter 1, and you see what that was all about for him. He and his three friends were chosen from among the Israelite royal men, and as far as that's concerned, they were chosen because the very first one says they were handsome. They were good looking. They were good looking in that sense. In that way, they were also chosen because they were wise. They were able to understand. Think about that for a moment. They were showing an aptitude to learn. They were without physical defect. They were the best of the best. They would learn the language. They would eat from the king's table. And eventually, after 3 years, they would serve the king and be top officials in that sense. And in chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. He could have. I mean, it was only him and his three buddies that were around. No one else would have really known. But he decided not to do that. He was going to keep himself strong and pure in that sense, true to the God that he served and that he believed in. Because of that, you can read in verse 17 that God gave them knowledge and understanding. It's amazing to me the example that he set for us. Determination and faith and prayer. He also actually set us aside for diet and how we should diet. And if we all did, we probably would be much healthier as far as that's concerned. But he set an example for us. Then you flip over a few chapters, you start to see what was going to happen in Daniel's life. How was this going to play from an early age? How was being true to his God going to play out? In Daniel chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we read these words. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. Listen to this. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. It was just like every guy in Washington, D.C., right? As far as that's concerned, it was every person. Daniel was there staying true to his God, and he was without corruption. He was above reproach. Daniel lived out his faith every day. He was strong. And because of Daniel's character, he was chosen by the king to take the highest position he could hold. Now, you and I all know that what happens when someone finds favor over someone else, there's this little word that seems to creep in there, and it's called jealousy. And somehow along the line, others wanted to rise to this ladder of success, and they saw Daniel in their way. Well, what happens? Well, you can either make yourself look really, really good, which obviously they could not make themselves look better than Daniel, or you can do what? You can decide to make the other person look bad. He was not liked. He was an outsider. He was not from their religion. He was not from their faith. He was not from their family as such, and therefore they were going to make him look bad. You know, as Christians, many times the world looks down on us. They look down on us because we don't believe the same way. We don't think the same way. We don't look the same way in that sense. And unless we act the same and do the same as the world, therefore we're looked down upon. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it anyways. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't live the life we're called to live anyways. Why? Because Daniel did. And there are times the world will not like us. John 15, 18, Jesus said these words, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first." There may be times when people look down upon you. So these corporate ladder climbers, let's call it this, this jealous crowd is trying to ease themselves in. They're trying to put themselves in front of Daniel, and they can't find anything wrong. So what they decide to do is look to his religion and look to his faith. In Daniel 6:5, it says, "Finally then, these men said, 'We will never, never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" Man, could that be said of me someday? That no one could ever find anything wrong with my life. And here's Daniel living the life that he can, the best that he can. And in the midst of all this, the saga continues, right? They go out and they spy on Daniel. They see that he's praying three times a day in his upper room with an open window. For everyone to see, he's praying. They've got him captured. If we can just find a way. You see, Daniel prayed when it was easy. That's just how his life was. He grew up that way. He prayed three times a day. It was a habit to him. We could say that it was part of his routine, but yet it was anything but routine. Daniel prayed. And these ladder climbers' plan was set in motion. Their motion of deception was there. They were going to deceive the king. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to regulate prayer. Now, gosh, that sounds kind of familiar to me. The high officials want to regulate prayer. They want to tell us when we can pray. They want to tell us how we can pray. They want to tell us where we can pray and when we can't do it. They've taken prayer out of our schools. They've taken prayer out of the government houses, the Ten Commandments out. They've regulated prayer in our society. But they can't keep us from still praying. You and I can pray on our own, and we must. No matter how much they try to control us. So they come before Darius. They butter him up a little bit. Oh, king, you're the greatest. To live forever. You know, we all like a little flattery and praise from time to time. And what happens? The deception, their little white lie is in place. Listen to verse 7. And there's one word in here that changes everything. And I want you to understand how we can easily do this. The royal administrators, the prefects, the satraps, the advisors, the governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the lion's den. Did you notice the word? All. All of a sudden, they thought to themselves, hey, if we say that everybody did it, do you think Daniel was part of this plan? No. But we've all decided, oh, it's just a little white lie. It's not a big thing. It's just all of us have. And crazy enough, they set this short term, 30 days. They could have set it for 15. They could have set it for 7. They could have set it for 3. They could have set it for 1. And guess what? Daniel was still going to break that law. Because Daniel was going to pray anyways. No decree was going to stop that. He was going to pray. And their plan gets set into motion. The king signs it, and his order becomes law, and it's such a law that he cannot change it himself. In other words, anybody that's going to pray, you're going to pray to him. The deception was done. The judgment was the lion's den. It was certain death. You see, they weren't worried about prayer. They were worried about judgment. They were worried about their own ego and their own needs. They were worried about it because of Daniel's uncompromising commitment to his God. That no matter what, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where, he is going to pray, and you are not going to stop that. Man, I wish that could be said about me. Wish that could be said that no matter what would happen in my life, that I wouldn't stop. That I wouldn't stop thinking about my God who gave his life for me, who gave me everything that I believe in and hold true. You see, Daniel prayed when it was easy, but Daniel prayed when it was risky as well. The decree was set. The law was set. I often wonder if these guys, these other officials, even waited for the signature to dry on the piece of paper before they went, hey, do you know that Daniel... Fascinating enough, when you look at verse 10, and to me, this is it, folks. This is where you and I should land in our prayer life, should be how we are each and every day. Notice what he says. Now when Daniel learned, in other words, as soon as he learned about this decree, he didn't think about it. He didn't go, well, you know, there's all these options. Now when he learned, I mean, the decree had been published. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. He opened the windows. He wasn't going to pray in secret. He wasn't going to pray in silent. He was going to pray the way he had always prayed every single day. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. One of the other translations, it says, as was his custom. In other words, he had prayed that way every day, day in and day out. See, Daniel prayed when it was risky. He knew that it could cost him his life. And there were really only three choices that he could make in the midst of this. And I want you just to think about this. He could cease to pray, which would stop his relationship with his God. He could close the window. Did he? No. He could have closed the window. He could have prayed in secret. He could have prayed in his own room. No one would have heard. No one would have seen it. No one would have known. But that probably would have cost him his influence of the others around him. Or he could do exactly what he did and he could continue to pray, which he knew would cost him his life. And that's the one he chose. He went to that special place that we talked about last week, in a special time that we talked about last week, in a special way that we talked about last week. And Daniel turned his life over to God. Once again, God, I need your strength. It is not on mine alone. And he poured out his heart to his God. He purposefully opened the window. God, everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to know. And it's there in the upper room that Daniel gives us an amazing example. An amazing example of what prayer is all about. And he gives us some different specifics, some different ideas of what we talked about last week in the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to walk through these real simple. He tells us kind of a position of prayer. Notice what he did when he got there. He opened the room, and what did he do? He knelt down. He humbled himself before his God. In other words, God, you are the great God above. I can do nothing through you. I can hear those words coming out of his mouth. Honoring his creator and his master. How do you submit to God in your prayer life? Every day. He tells us this practice of prayer. There was persistency three times a day. And listen, many of us say, well, we pray three times a day. I pray for breakfast, I pray for lunch, and I pray for dinner. I don't think that's exactly what Daniel was doing here. He was taking set aside time for God to pray on his knees. In a sense, in a posture of prayer, a posture of thanksgiving. Fascinating enough, if you look at the Hebrew word here, and I don't do a lot of Hebrew studies, it's literally yada. I want you to think about that word. If you say it right way in our society, it would come across as ta-da. Which meant that he knelt down and he raised his hands up to his God and he gave him thanks. Yada! He gave God praise. He gave God adoration, the same way we talked about last week, that our prayers should start and end in praise. How do we thank God every day because of the circumstances we're in, whether they're good or whether they're bad? And then I love what he did, and he said he prayed. It was a pattern. It was customary. It was as he always had done. Moms and dads, let me talk to you for just a minute. I think I've finally, as our kids are 29 and 25, I think I can finally talk into lives a little bit better. It is so important for you to teach your kids how to pray. And I'm not just talking about the now I lay me down to sleep or the God is great prayers. Those are wonderful ways to start. It's so important for you to teach your kids what it means to pray to a heavenly Father, to a God who loves them and adores them, a God who will watch over them and care for them in the midst of tough times and in the midst of good times. The way they see that, the way they understand it is they watch you as you pray, which means, moms and dads, you need to pray. Grandma and grandpa, you need to pray. Our kids need to see us on our knees giving adoration to God, crying out for his help and his strength. Because listen, parenting is tough. And as you get teenagers, you understand it's harder. And I wish I could tell you that it gets easier, but it's still more difficult each and every day. So hold on and watch your kids. Teach them how to pray. Love them in that sense so they can catch that in their life and understand what that means. For Daniel, it wasn't praying as usual. He was praying in a very special prayer, a special time. He knew that the trial had come. He knew that he was there, and it was time to encourage himself and everyone else around him to stay strong. In Jude 20 and 21, it says this, "But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit," holy faith, "keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." You and I are called to build each other up in prayer every day. Our kids, our families, our moms and our dads, and those that we love. So what happened in the story because of prayer? I think we know. We've all been taught that story so long, and I'm going to kind of walk through it real quick. But it's fascinating. It simply says, then they said to the king. In other words, they told the king. King had to listen to his decree. He brought Daniel, and he says, kind of like, hey, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. It's my own law. He takes him to throw him in the lion's den, and crazy enough, this is where it's kind of the big finale, right? We see these words, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den, and the king said to Daniel, listen, may your God, whom you serve continually, notice that word, whom you serve every single day, whom you serve every single minute, who you serve every single way, may that God rescue you. This pagan king, who had no idea who Daniel's God was asking him, may your God rescue you. And we know the story. The king doesn't get much sleep that night. You can read through it. He runs to the tomb. He runs to the den the next day, cries out to Daniel, hey, are you okay? And I love the answer. Daniel 6:22, Daniel cries out, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They've not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done anything wrong before you, your majesty. I don't know about you, but I love to watch kids' movies, always have. That's why I was in youth ministry, because it was my mindset, it was who I was. And I love to watch kids' movies, and the fun thing is every kids' movie I've ever seen on Daniel in the lion's den, when he gets thrown into the den of lions, the first thing he doesn't do, he doesn't go, oh my gosh, there's lions, okay? He drops to his knees and raises his hands, as was his custom, and he prays. Now, you could just have that sense, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, there's lions, they're ferocious, they're mean. I remember one time when we took our girls to the Akron Zoo, it was right around dinner time, and if you've ever heard a roaring lion, what they're talking about, it's scary. I mean, it's like everywhere you are, you could hear them in the park. It's like, man, I'm glad I'm not their dinner. Daniel was to be their dinner. And the funny thing is give me some leeway here. I picture in my mind, Daniel falls to his knees in prayer. When he gets up, they're purring. You know, he's like going over and going, hey, how are you? And all of a sudden, these big ferocious lions turn into these little pussycats. And he's scratching under their chin, and they're purring, and they're just cuddling up to him. Their mouths were shut. They could have mauled him. They could have clawed him to death. They didn't. God can do amazing things when we fall to our knees in prayer. God does amazing things in our life when we turn our lives over to him and we give him all that we are. So what can we learn from Daniel is this whole idea, this whole picture that God wants our prayer life to be strong. 23, the king was overjoyed and he gave his orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted, there was no wound found on him. Because, what's the last thing? He had trusted in God. How's your prayer life? Do you trust in him completely? Do you fall to your knees and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't possibly live this life on my own.
you trust him when it's easy? Do you trust him when it's risky, when it's hard? Do you pray to prevent the attack? I want you to think about this. Or do you wait until it's already happening? Because friends, we are under attack every day. We are told time and time again, and in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be alert and sober of mind. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a pussycat? No. It says like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. What are we called to do? We're called to resist him, to stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world, this family of believers is standing around you. They're supporting you. They're loving you. They're caring for you. But they're also undergoing the same kind of struggles. We're going to go through it, folks. And how are we going to stand strong? We stand strong by kneeling the most. We stand strong by being on our knees, being before God in prayer. See? He believes so too. So stand strong. Stay true. We can call and we can tell you how to pray. We can teach you how to pray. We can strive. But honestly, I started to think about this from last week. You have to catch it. I can teach you as much as I want. We can share with you story and story. Jesus can teach you as much as he wants. But until you catch it, you have to catch it. You have to feel it. You have to know it. I had a math teacher that taught me math. And guess what? Math did not click in my mind. But all of a sudden, something happened and I caught it. And now it makes my wife mad every time I do math things in my mind. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that on paper. You're supposed to use a calculator. No, I caught it. I figured it out. God wants us to figure out prayer and just do it and make that decision, because he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants you to communicate with him each and every day. God, thank you. Thank you for hearing us cry. I do wholeheartedly believe this is something we could talk about every week and never quite catch it. We could talk about it every week and never quite experience what true prayer is all about until we just stop, we let go, and we let God. Father, help our knees to become weak. Help our lives to be humble before you in everything that we do. Help our hearts to be changed, our minds to be purified. Father, help us to support, encourage one another, and love one another. Because we know that the greatest change of all was a change in life, when Jesus came to give us true life. Father, maybe someone like Nicole needs to accept Jesus in their life this morning. It's not too late. The waters are always there. Your kingdom is always ready. Help us to share our faith, to love you more, and to come before you. In your name we pray.